just what I deserve. As I watched him waltzing her right out the door, I should have asked him faster, but I waited too long. In a red hot minute, like a flash she was gone. I didn't get her number, I never got her name. A natural disaster,
Michelle Franzen. After a judge sentenced Brian Koberger to four consecutive life sentences, questions remain about the motive in the murders of four University of Idaho students. Police have since released a trove of documents from their investigation. ABC's Alex Stone is in Boise.
While they don't know a motive in this and they don't know why these four were targeted, investigators have told us since a gag order has been lifted in the last 24 hours or so, when they've really been able to speak after the sentencing, that they do believe that they were targeted, but they don't know why they were targeted.
A meeting taking place today between Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche and Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend and co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. It's taking place in Tallahassee, Florida, where she's in prison. The Trump administration is facing increasing pressure to release the full files in the Epstein case. Fans of World Wrestling Entertainment legend Hulk Hogan are mourning his death. Police in Clearwater responded to calls of a cardiac arrest today. This is ABC News. Columbia University announcing a settlement with the Trump administration to restore federal funding. As part of the settlement, the university in a statement says the school does not admit to wrongdoing with the agreement, but does recognize that Jewish students and faculty have experienced painful, unacceptable incidents. ABC's Alex Prochet has more on the announcement.
This is an incredible victory for the Trump administration. Per Linda McMahon, she said this was quite an accomplishment. As she puts it, the president is trying to root out anti-Semitic practices on university campuses. Columbia University, obviously the epicenter of a lot of those pro-Palestinian protests. Linda McMahon, the Secretary of Education, saying that she hopes this is a template going forward.
At least 130 million people from Texas all the way to New England are under alerts for dangerous heat, and that severe heat and humidity will be moving in to New York City in the coming day. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you tried online gaming. Who knew 12-year-old boys could be so mean?
And where did they learn to swear like that? 2 hours of losing to these underage trash talkers, and you're starting to question if maybe you really should stick to pickleball and other boomer stuff.
So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The body of a missing La Crosse woman has been recovered.
The La Crosse Police Department was informed by the Houston County Sheriff's Office in Minnesota that the body of 22-year-old Elliot Hines was found Wednesday morning in the Mississippi River near Brownsville, Minnesota. That's about 15 miles downriver from La Crosse. Research had been underway since the Viterbo University graduate student went missing early Sunday morning. Police are still investigating and are waiting on results of an autopsy for an official cause of death. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Senator Tammy Baldwin proposes legislation to address child care costs.
The Wisconsin Democrat says the Child Care for Working Families Act will address what she calls the broken equation in the child care sector.
The marketplace, the free marketplace, is not working for workers who are often underpaid or families who are being forced to pay through the roof.
Baldwin was joined on a media call by Heather Murray, who operates a group child care center in Wanakee.
It keeps getting harder and harder to provide quality child care that children deserve.
The bill is one Baldwin has introduced since 2017 and one of three bills which she says could lower costs for Wisconsin families if they get support from Republicans. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A legendary Western Wisconsin home will receive state funding for upkeep. The recently passed Wisconsin state budget allocates $5 million to the nonprofit preserving famed architect Frank Lloyd Wright's Taliesin home and studio near Spring Green. Wright lived at the 800-acre estate for nearly 50 years and designed many of his most famous works there. About 30,000 guests visit Taliesin annually, bringing in about $4 million to the local economy. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA Attraction Bundles and the no-worry 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way, at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the afternoon, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, still pretty humid, highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, areas of fog late, lows to the mid-60s. And again, mid-80s tomorrow, a little more sunshine. Rain chances return this weekend. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 78 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
To make our children healthy again by August 12th, we will talk with a lawmaker that's getting out in front with his own set of proposals. And the July cattle inventory report is back. We'll talk about what to expect and what numbers the industry will look at first.
Live! At this point, I'm just trying to stay hydrated. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with U.S. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. Then it's Lee Scholes from EverAg. And directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. The mushroom coffee not keeping you hydrated. Is that what I just heard?
It's just part of a broader program. Really is, okay. Is what it is. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
All sources are in play at this point, brother. It is hot out there. I had to walk the dog at like 9 o'clock last night so we would both survive the event. It's that bad.
Gotcha.
Wait till after dark.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it rained again last night.
Did it?
It has been it is a soggy son of a gun up here right now.
Yeah. It about really gets to be is. A little too much, yeah?
Yeah, 76 degrees, too, already.
Okay, okay.
Heading for a high just in the low 80s, but we've got some heat coming our way again over the weekend and early next week. But the way things stand right now, it's pretty muggy out there, no question about it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Hello.
And for those of you that are curious, yes, the mighty Kansas City Royals did defeat the Chicago Cubs in yesterday's rubber stake game. Mm-hmm. As a result, the next time Davis and I get together, it's my treat, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's my treat.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll sit down and have a steak, all right?
Just sitting down with you is the treat, Chip.
Oh, yeah. Well. Well,
the steak don't hurt. The steak don't hurt.
The steak won't hurt, not at all. Speaking of steaks, when we get Angie on here in just a second, we're going to be talking about retail beef prices. We're going to be talking about the cattle industry and the cattle inventory with Lee Scholes at the bottom of the hour. And we've got a conversation with Senator Marshall coming up here that I think is going to be very interesting about the MAHA movement and the commission. So Looking forward to that conversation as well. All right, buddy, let's get to the news.
Well, Chip, the National Weather Service is looking for dangerous. So many of these National Weather Service now start with the word dangerous.
Dangerous.
Dangerous, yeah. Long-lasting heat remains across the Mid-South to Mid-Mississippi Valley while heat expands into the Northeast for a brief period on Friday. Strong to isolated severe thunderstorms, heavy rain pose a flash flooding threat from the southern high plains eastward toward the Great Lakes. Tropical Depression 12W brings heavy rain to Guam and the Marianas through Saturday. I don't know why I keep leaving that sentence on there, but yeah, it's hot here.
I was going to say, what's the attention to Guam?
I know, I just a little careful editing maybe tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe somebody needs us there. You know?
That could be.
It's
that
beyond my control. Right. Corn, soybeans, and wheat were up slightly as of 6 a.m. this morning. The U.S. dollar index and crude oil futures also mildly firmer early this morning.
Slight gains in the corn market. Soybeans right now steady to slightly lower. Bean oil is still trying to work to the upside. Mostly lower in the wheat market. The cattle market after yesterday's big gains are setting back a little bit, and lean hogs are mixed.
Well, Chip, the United Kingdom's FTSE 100 and Japan's TOPIX stock indexes hit record highs following the announced U.S.-Japan trade deal earlier this week. And on optimism, the U.S. and European Union can reach a deal before August 1st. The clock is ticking on that August 1st deadline, but we may get there with the EU.
Absolutely, we might get there, and it sounds like the expectations are that the deal with the EU is going to look very similar to what we've got with Japan.
Mm-hmm. Well, private exporters report some sales activity. 135,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to South Korea during the 25-26 marketing year. And 284,196,000 metric tons of corn received in the reporting period for delivery to unknown destinations. Of that total, about 84,000 metric tons for delivery during 24-25 marketing year. Interesting to see South Korea here because they were watching this Japan deal very closely thinking, oh, we got to get a piece of that.
Yeah.
And here we are. And here we are.
Well, and it was a major boo-boo this morning by USDA when they first put that had that 135,000 of corn to China. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be news.
Yes.
To South Korea, it's another sale. If it would have been to China, wow.
Yeah. Well, President Trump late Wednesday suggested he would not go below 15% on tariff rates ahead of the August 1 trade deal deadline, indicating the floor for the increased tariffs was rising, saying, quote, we'll have a straight, simple tariff of anywhere between 15% and 50%. Reports say Malaysia is seeking to lower U.S. tariffs to less than 20% and is optimistic of reaching a trade deal ahead of the AUG 1 deadline, that according to a Malaysian trade official. And this here quickly, Pat Hoard, an Ohio pork producer and vice president of the National Pork Producers Council, and Holly Cook, NPPC economist, testified before the House Ag Committee on the implications of California's Prop 12 for farmers and food prices. We can maybe talk more about this later, Chip.
Absolutely. They did a great job explaining the mess that it has created out there. Thank you, Davis. Yep. Let's bring in Angie Stump Denton, the editorial director at Drovers. Good morning, Angie. How are you?
Good morning, Chip. It's raining here this morning, too, which is a nice break from that heat we've been having that Davis talked about. So enjoying these summer rains, but it sure brings that humidity, too, here in Kansas. So
it certainly does. It certainly does. Beef prices, they're high, but
they are.
Consumers keep buying.
Yeah, we just posted a story yesterday on drovers.com about, you know, why aren't these beef prices causing sticker shock with consumers? Ground beef prices in June were the highest in history, above $6 per pound, while steaks were up 8%, averaging $11.49 per pound.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is one of the things that we're worried about is that at some point, hamburger prices in particular might get high enough that it shuts off demand.
Yeah, that is a concern, but that what statistics are showing us, Chip, is that demand, that we still have that strong beef demand out there in the country today. consumers, while beef prices are rising, wages are up too. That's one of our analysts had done some research on wages compared to beef prices, and they continue to rise as well. We're also seeing recently a pickup in prime over choice for the first time ever. Consumers are picking prime at the marketplace over choice product, which is, as we're producing more prime, as high quality beef continues to improve, it's exciting to see those numbers continue.
Yeah, no doubt. And consumers are just protein crazy right now, aren't they?
Yeah, with the current craze and diets and those things, consumers are demanding protein on their plates. And we're excited to provide them high-quality beef to meet their demands. So be sure to check out the article on drovers.com and see what analysts told us about the current demand for beef today.
Perfect. Thank you, Angie. That is Angie Stump-Denton, the editorial director at Drovers. Like she said, www.drovers.com for more on that story. We are talking with U.S. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas next.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series, it's never ending, we need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatestyields.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FEN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, and I'm going to waste zero time. We're jumping right into the conversation with Senator Roger Marshall, M.D., from Kansas. Senator Marshall, thank you for making time for us here on AgriTalk.
Well, Chip, it's great to be with you. We've got a great show for the folks. We've got a lot to cover. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I, emphasized MD for a reason, because we are, you are a medical doctor. We are talking about the Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA movement. You know, I realized that you were very interested in the commission, but I didn't realize that you would organize an entire portfolio of legislation to pursue what you believe is the best MAHA approach. Where does that motivation come from?
Yeah, well, Chip, again, I grew up in agriculture, a fifth-generation farm kid, had been practicing medicine here for 30-some years, delivered a baby every day for some 25 years in my hometown. And certainly with all those pregnant women, the diet, the nutrition was so, so, so important. And when I got to Congress, this is one of the things I wanted to address. I want to start by saying there's no MAHA without American agriculture leadership. There's no Make America Healthy Again without American agriculture leadership. That I believe that soil health leads to healthy food, leads to healthy people. And so when I heard the MAHA group talking and I hear the ag folks talking, I have a foot in each one of those worlds trying to bring the information together. Because guess what? American agriculture wants healthy children just as well as anybody does. So how do we get there? And that's going to be the challenge. And that's the legislation we're putting together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the four pillars of your MAHA approach, let's go over those, and I'm going to jump straight to the bottom two because I think it's very important. Affordable access to primary health care, to primary care health care, addressing mental health challenges among the younger people. Those are two very important things, but because of our audience, I want to focus on the first two. Dialing up efficiency in agriculture, healthier, more nutrient-rich food.
Right.
Talk about how you're going to pursue that.
Right. So think about anything that's going to improve soil health. Let's define what soil health looks like and how we get there. Well, the first thing, and it needs to be affordable food as well, by the way.
Yeah.
So the first thing we're going to do is protect pesticides. I've spent the last 6 months trying to educate MAHA people on what regenerative agriculture looks like, growing more with less, no-till, minimal-till agriculture. But to do that, we have to use pesticides. And then next, you know, what does precision agriculture look like? And we have early adopters out there that are doing all these things. I'm sure you've had them on their show over and over again, and using, you know, crop rotations and cover crops, integrating cattle or whatever animals you have into that system as well to make modern soil health a practice. But it's costly. It costs money to transition from traditional agriculture to regenerative agriculture. So we're trying to set up programs through a farm bill, however we can do to make it an affordable transition, if you will.
Okay. A couple of people that I talked with about the interview that you did yesterday with Fox, there is a level of concern that you're talking about taking American agriculture to organic production. Is that the idea?
You know, I think that regenerative agriculture stands on its own two feet and has actually some advantages over organic farming, and that's what I'm trying to communicate. Organic farming causes disturbing of the soil, which releases carbon into the air. Look, soil is an incredible carbon sink. So I think that's the first challenge with organic farming. The second one is that it leads to increased use of water, increased soil erosion, and thirdly, it's costly, right? Not everyone can afford to shop at Whole Foods. I wish we could, but not at all. I'm trying to make regenerative agriculture the standard, and that regenerative agriculture centered around precision agriculture, growing more with less.
Okay. All right. So is organic food more nutritious than commercially produced food?
I don't think it is, and there may be exceptions to the rule. Okay,
okay.
You wouldn't know how you define what organic agriculture even is. They do have some advantages in that they don't use any pesticides and minimal fertilizers as well. But my point is this: what we are doing now in American regenerative agriculture, we're decreasing 90% of the drift off of our fields. We're not applying A lot of these chemicals, once the seed becomes fertilized and starts to grow as well, we're using 60% less fertilizers, less pesticides as well. I think that we have to focus on is decreasing the amount of fertilizers that we're using, less pesticides, so that there's less residue on that final loaf of bread in the grocery store.
Okay. All right. One of the proposals that raised some eyebrows is the Plant Biostimulant Act. Right. Talk to me about that.
Right. So there's other, I'm going to call them natural fertilizers out there. There are organisms that microorganisms you can put in your soil that'll grab onto the plant's roots and help grab water and help grab fertilizer. So you end up putting less on the soil to begin with, or maybe none. But as you go through this exercise, regenerative agriculture, your soil health improves every year. So these plant biostimulants help grab those nutrients. But right now it gets caught up in an FDA process where it takes years, maybe 7 or 10 years to go through the process. So we're trying to streamline the FDA. And this is all voluntary. My emphasis is this is voluntary. You don't have to do it. But I'm telling you that I'm not driving this, okay? The American consumer is the one that's driving this. They want to know where their food comes from. They want to know what's in it, what's grown. They want to know what the oil looks like. So that's what's driving this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. On the Biostimulant Act, one of the comments that you made to Fox News is that would allow bleeding edge. Was it bleeding edge or leading edge?
Leading edge. Leading.
That's what I figured. I didn't think that you would call it bleeding edge. That would allow leading edge soil health technology and processes to be considered conservation practices and eligible for Farm Bill funding. Are you talking about subsidies for biologicals?
I would put it this way, that the Farm Bill, about 5% of a Farm Bill is conservation practices. So I would just try to streamline the FDA process and then allow these plant biostimulants to be one of the options. So not a subsidy for the plant biostimulants. I just want to make the regulatory process easier, and that's going to make it more affordable as well. So I think when we look into conservation practices, you know, beyond just the typical, what EQIP is doing now and the other programs, is how can we integrate this regenerative agriculture practices into a Farm Bill? Again, farmers and ranchers were the original environmentalists. I'm a fifth generation farm kid. I remember my grandfather's building terraces when I was 6, 7 years old and teaching me what soil conservation meant as well. So when we're doing CRP, let's allow some plant buffers, some grass buffers around the fields that between them and the streams, and decrease that amount of drift that's going in there.
Okay.
So we're going to decrease the amount of fertilizer, the pesticides we put on the field, and then we're going to grow buffers around them to decrease what gets into our water system. This is all common sense. We're doing a lot of it already, but we want to accentuate this regenerative agriculture practices.
I'm getting a very clear picture of what you're talking about. Now, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because what it sounds to me is you're taking the best practices that are already in place out there, and let's push them forward and spread them out in other areas. Bottom line, right?
Yeah, it's that simple. And then there's folks out here right now. You have to be a government certified expert to go out and do some of these practices. My farmers are really connected to their local co-ops with great agronomists, if you will, and ag econ people, so they can certify that we're doing these right things. I'm going to give you one quick example of what my sorghum folks are doing back home. So we have a group of sorghum growers. They have their own mill, the largest sorghum mill in the country, and they're selling that flour directly to the infant formulas as well as the European markets. So EU has higher standards, so to speak, than America does. So be it. I don't know that they're necessary. I don't make up their rules. But these people have cracked that code, and they're getting a premium for their sorghum right now. And it's a little extra effort. So here's an agronomist that's out there saying, this is what we need to do to have healthier flour that we can sell into that baby formula business, if that makes sense. So yes, accentuating early adopters and rewarding them, right? You have to reward them.
Reward them. Yes, exactly. I am so glad we had this conversation, Senator. Thank you so much for making time with us.
No, Chip. Thank you for having me. We all want to make America healthy again. American agriculture has to provide the leadership to do this, and we'll get her done. Thank you.
Starting with the healthy soil out there. Love it. Good stuff. Senator Roger Marshall, MD from Kansas. We're going to talk cattle inventory next here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wheat harvest is underway. Make it easier with Elsevia's on-farm pickup program. Elsevia will haul your grain directly from your farm to its destination with freight included in Elsevia's bids. It's simple, efficient, and designed to fit your operation. Let Elsevia handle the trucking so you can focus on harvest. Try it out this season. Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401, 608-819-4401 to learn more.
Good afternoon, I'm Brian Winnekins reporting from the Dunn County Fair with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 14 to 1724, September up 8 to 1747, November up 5 to 1825, and December milk up 4 at 1817. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, they are moving mostly lower after the triple-digit gains from yesterday, as the trade is still really wanting to wait to see what develops this week in the cash cattle markets. Now, exports reports had net sales of 16,700 metric tons. That's up 90% from the previous week, so that is providing some support. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving mostly higher today. Again, we are starting to see some strong demand as well due to the pork cutout values rising. August live cattle down 70 cents to 226.32. August feeder cattle down 230 to 329.22. August hogs up 15 cents to 106.62. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are moving slightly higher. Wheat markets are moving lower as well due to some weakness in the euro. Soybeans, meanwhile, they're moving mostly lower as well. We have really a lot of consolidation happening in all of the grains here throughout the day today. New crop corn up 1.5 to 419. New crop beans down 1.25 to 1021.5. September wheat down 1.25.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Really glad that we spent that time, Davis, with Senator Marshall.
Yeah.
The message that he conveyed in that conversation, is a little different than what was delivered in a press release from his office. It reads differently.
It does. It absolutely does. I agree. I'm really glad that we got to talk to him about that.
Yes, I'm feeling a little bit better about the whole situation myself. Okay. All right. We are getting an interesting report tomorrow. It's the twice annual cattle inventory report. Now, what makes this one different is that we didn't get the report a year ago at this time. So it's going to make the analysis of these numbers pretty interesting. Let's get Lee to get off to – there we go. And bring in Lee Scholes from EverAg. Lee, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Yep, glad that you are here. Different report. We didn't get it a year ago, and now we're going to get these. It's almost like starting over practically, isn't it?
Well, and, you know, this is a key time to really understand inventory. So it is unfortunate that we didn't get it a year ago. I mean, but I think we got to look forward and do our best to kind of analyze this given the data that we have.
Right. Now, we got one in December that was a January. No, it wasn't in December. It was as of January 1 numbers. But this is as of July 1. What are the What number are you going to look at first?
So this is our mid-year that's given us just the U.S. numbers. So we're not going to be able to look at individual states until we get to January. And so this really just kind of gauges maybe where we're at, where if we're turning the corner as we think about, you know, contraction going into expansion. The key numbers when we look at these are the beef cow numbers. If you look at pre-report expectations, on average, down about 2.2% compared to 2 years ago. And so, you know, it'd probably be down a little bit less if we were just comparing to a year ago. And then the other one when we think about it is heifers held for beef cow replacement. So yep. We've seen heifers on feed have continued to be rather large as a percent of the total inventory. When do we start to see cow-calf producers hold back more of those heifers to start rebuilding the herd? If you look at pre-report expectations, you know, they have this down about 3% year over year, would be a little bit less compared to last year. So, you know, I'm in the camp that I think we're on the early stages of expansion, not necessarily full-fledged expansion, but I think this report will start to confirm maybe some of that early movement by cow-calf producers to start to expand.
Okay. All right. Do you think the market is prepared for that, for some signs of expansion?
You know, I think so, but we also need to keep in mind that even if we started to expand today, it's several years into the future. So I think when you think about it from a marketing standpoint, we are dealt the cards we're dealt right now with the cattle that we currently have on feed. What's in the pipeline as you look at feeder cattle supplies, that's what's driving this bullish market, right? When you look at a cattle inventory report, those are much more medium to long term. We don't necessarily see a huge reaction in the market given what these numbers are. That's the cattle on feed report also released tomorrow that, you know, could surprise the market or kind of confirm where we're currently at.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to talk a little bit more about that in a second. You know, consumers have come to me, Lee, and said, geez, you know, why don't we just make more beef? And then when you explain to them from the time a heifer calf hits the ground and you decide that, you know what, I am going to save that heifer back and expand my beef herd, it's 3 years before you get a steak on the table. And in the meantime, you're taking the steak that heifer might have produced out of the marketplace, right?
Yeah. And that's important to keep in mind. We're going to get tighter before you get increased supplies because you have to, again, you have to kind of change the dynamics of that inventory, and those heifers have to start to be replacements at a greater clip. You know, and it isn't for a lack of trying to produce, you know, more beef. I think when you think about it, I think there are some early signs of expansion. Obviously, in some states that have had favorable conditions, we've seen some start to expansion. The other key factor is carcass weights. I mean, we're producing, you know, not the reduction in slaughter numbers it reflective in the beef numbers because of those larger carcass weights. So we've mitigated what could be even tighter supplies of beef by, you know, being more efficient, putting more pounds on the current inventory.
And it's a good thing we're doing that for a couple of reasons. Number one, we need the beef. Number two, consumer choice has changed. They are spending the extra money for prime over choice now, aren't they?
And that's what the prices show. If you look at their they're willing and able, and both of those are important to keep in mind, to pay those higher and higher prices as we look at, you know, what prices are at retail.
Yep, exactly. Calf crop. I always look at the size of the calf crop. What are we expecting there?
And that's a big one, too, because that's our real pipeline supplies. Yep. We peaked in this current cattle inventory in 2018 for the calf crop. We've continued to whittle down year over year from that calf crop. The report says down about 2.2% on the calf crop. You know, some of that's driven both by the beef cow herd, but also the dairy herd, too. And as we think about, you know, the change in beef on dairy and increase in there, I mean, there's a lot of different implications there that, you know, we'll tease out over time. But I think it's rather certain the calf crop will be down. You know, on average, analysts have it about 2.2%.
Okay. All right, let's go to that cattle on feed report. It comes out at the same time. It's a little bit of a different, not a little bit of a different report. It's a different report. What are your expectations there?
So the one thing to keep in context with this cattle on feed report is we did have one more, call it slaughter or placement day in June of 2025 with 21 days compared to June of 2024 with 20 days. And so that's important to always make that adjustment because when you're doing those year over year, it's important. So, you know, as you look at pre-report expectations, I think there's expectation we're going to see lower on-feed numbers, lower placement numbers, and lower marketing numbers. Now, because of the one additional day, it's only going to be in that, you know, call it about 1% lower cattle on feed, maybe 2% lower placement numbers. It would be a lot larger reduction if we were comparing to apples on the slaughter days.
Okay. Gotcha. $330 feeder cattle futures. I mean, we've seen that price in the cash market. It was eye popping to see it in futures, wasn't it?
It is. I guess I'm lost for words, right? And that's,
I am too.
And I think, you know, you really see it from, I mean, as we talk about the fundamentals, it's not only supply, right? Demand has to be driving this as well. And that's what we continue to see. And that's demand from feedlots. I mean, the profits that they're earning now, which are large, you know, they're boring them back into cattle numbers and feedlot placements. And so, you know, I think that's really important to keep in mind, given where these prices are and what break evens are for the fed cattle when these cattle are going to come out of feedlots.
Right, right. What's a bigger risk to overall beef demand right now, Lee? Is it $7 a pound hamburger or is it $21 a pound ribeyes?
You know, I think when you think about, you know, the factors that are, you know, going to impact demand, I mean, it's the substitute prices do matter. And I think there's a lot of argument over time, you know, how sensitive consumers are. But, you know, my pushback would be we've never been at these spreads when you look at beef prices relative to some other protein. So as you look at, you know, you point out to how strong these prices are, I think up till now we've traded within the complex, right? So beef, maybe we've traded down to, you know, a little bit more, you know, cost, you know, cost effective for some consumers, but at some prices we may see some, you know, alternative or switching into some other proteins, be it pork, be it chicken. So, you know, I think that's something we're going to continue to watch, but as I alluded to, consumers have been willing and able to pay so far.
Yeah, they certainly have. Now on the trade side of things, we're working on the trade deals, and the one that the beef industry has to keep their eye on is that 50% tariff on products coming in from Brazil, because we import a lot of product from Brazil, don't we?
We do, and it really complements our production, right? As we talk about the prime and choice, right? It allows us to kind of maximize those trimmings and produce, in effect, more product. And when you think about ground beef, so it's really a complementary system. And obviously, you know, as we talk about markets and fundamentals, we don't operate in a vacuum, right? It's like a Rubik's cube. You move one thing, and it possibly can move another. So, you know, trade continues to be important, both the import side but the export side too. We're down roughly 5% by volume, but still relative to our production, I think we've maintained strong market, you know, access and exports so far. We were expecting to export less, but we have less beef in 2025.
Yep. We opened up the Australian market now. I don't know if they're going to buy much beef from us, but at least we've got the opportunity to try to sell some beef into there. So,
well, and I think it's all about momentum, right? And I think that's a key factor here. Just like markets, they can react to momentum, and I think that's important here.
All right, Lee. Good stuff, buddy. Lee Scholes, EverAg. Thanks.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, Takis fans. Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at PlantChampion.com.
Step into the future of agricultural efficiency with new leaders NL7 series nutrient applicator. The NL7 is the latest innovation in farming equipment designed to revolutionize the way you spread fertilizer. With its unique design, its focus on efficiency, high precision, and high output, the NL7 is a versatile spreader that offers ease of maintenance and ease of use like never before. To see our full lineup of spreaders, including our trailed units with unmatched durability and pinpoint accuracy, visit our website at newleader.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory. Chip, you remember back in the day, back at, and Pro Farmer subscribers may remember this, the Inputs Monitor. One of the big stories that the Inputs Monitor was tracking was the nutrient reduction strategy. And I spent a lot of time with then Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey, rest his soul, talking about this. Because, and what I learned from that is something that I already knew, you start talking about the soil and production practices, and people get a little nervous, rightly so. Don't mess with my system.
First thought is, that might work for you, but it won't work here.
Yep.
You hear that a lot.
Now.
You hear that a lot.
I read Senator Marshall's press release yesterday, and in fact, I wrote about it for Evening Report for Pro Farmer last night. Shameless plug. Some of the language in there was kind of had me feeling that way. A couple of things, and I'll turn you loose here in a second. But a couple of things: a fifth generation Kansas boy who is also a medical doctor.
Yeah.
Feels like someone who can nuance this just right, who knows how to do it.
If there's someone that could build the bridge between agriculture and the MAHA movement, he's got the qualifications, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He certainly does.
He's got the position. He's got the experience. He's definitely got the qualifications to help RFK Jr. develop a deeper understanding of what today's agriculture is all about. I'll admit, when one of the first things that Senator Marshall said was, first and foremost is protecting pesticides. That was a jolt to me, because now this press release, the more I'm figuring it out, the better I'm getting at understanding exactly what happened here. It was an interview on Fox News, and basically it was a Fox News story that they pulled and then put on the Senator Marshall letterhead and sent it out. Okay. Maybe didn't have exactly the right people putting giving it a back read before it went out to the world, because, you know, I quoted it directly when I said practices from the bleeding edge.
I saw that.
That would allow bleeding edge soil health technology. That's what the press release said. Okay? I knew it should have been leading edge, but that's not what it said.
It's not what it said.
He corrected that. He corrected that and brought it back to leading edge. Be considered conservation practices and eligible for farm bill funding, among others. To me, I took that immediately as subsidized use of biologicals.
Yes, that is where you went. Yep.
That sounded exactly like that. Another area that raised some concerns for me was there is a quote in there attributed to the senator that says, returning to an entirely organic food production process devoid of fertilizers would create healthier food. That's why I asked him, is that true? Do you believe that? He said, no, there may be some cases in which it does, but no. I'm glad to hear him clarify that. Let's see, a couple of other spots that caught my attention. When talking about the plant biostimulant bill, it says, the bill ties indirectly with his passion for regenerative agriculture, which uses fewer fertilizers, water, and other status quo farming techniques to produce healthier foods on more sustainable farmland, which in turn would yield a cheaper, more nutritious diet for Americans. That's Fox News interpretation right there. That is not what he said. What he said is it's growing more with less. And you can do that with precision agriculture.
Yes, you can.
See, to me and to you and to most of the people that are listening right now, at least the farmers, status quo farming techniques includes some type of precision agriculture. Some efforts have already been made to reduce the fertilizer load, to reduce the chemical load, because all that costs money. So if you can reduce it and still get the best use out of it and still produce the yields that you need to have, that's the goal. That's what he was talking about. So status quo farming techniques, to me, include some precision agriculture. To the Fox News editor that put this together, I got a feeling they think that it's still, you know, fence row to fence row, mall board plowing,
right?
That, you know, you turn everything black before you put seed in the ground. It's just not the case. It's just not the case. The buffer strips that he was talking about, putting more buffer strips along waterways, and maybe even at edges of fields that don't butt up against a creek or a waterway. To help reduce some wind erosion. I thought those were very interesting comments. The other thing that he made a point of saying, and I'm glad he did, was these efforts would all be voluntary.
Yes.
This would not be a mandated effort.
That's what took me back to the nutrient reduction strategies, a voluntary approach. Get the buy-in, and off we go.
Right. That is exactly right. I'm really glad we had the conversation.
Oh.
I'm glad that he was willing to come on and talk about it, because I had some... obviously, I had some concerns that didn't need to be there. He cleared that up for us. Thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Free for all tomorrow.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm breaking out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH.